Before I get started this week, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and mind body coach based out of Los Angeles, and you might remember that she guest hosted the podcast back in January, came on live with me in August of 2021, and she was back in person in August of 2022, which is episode 238 called Stress Talk. Jeannie spent 16 plus years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a myriad of other chronic symptoms that left her both physically and mentally exhausted. She healed herself completely, and now she's obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program. In that program, clients learn how to decrease stress, release stuck negative emotions, and finally heal their chronic pain. If you're feeling stuck in your journey, are you frustrated because you're familiar with TMS concepts but haven't seen much improvement? Are you sick of everyone talking about feeling their emotions because you don't know how to do it? Perhaps you're now realizing that you can't keep doing this on your own. Jeannie offers free 45-minute consults where you'll identify what's holding you back so you can take your next steps for healing. Go to her website. That's jeanniecolwin.com, JeannieKulwin.com, and book your free call to see if it's a good fit. Welcome back to the show. It is, what is the date? Thursday, November the 3rd, 2022. I want to make sure that I give a big shout out to all of the patrons of the podcast. If you would like to support the show, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast to learn more and support the show and throw a couple bucks in the tip jar. Deborah joined us on the 1st, so yesterday. She's a brand new patron of the show, so thank you to Deborah. And then I'll go down the line. Daniel and Kirk, Emily, Paul, Amanda, Elise, Enda, Dominic, Sasha, Sylvie, John, Jason, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Mike, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast year after year, month after month, and week after week. The show would not be on the air for without you and your support. So I hope you enjoyed last week. There probably hasn't been a better example of me feeling outside of my comfort zone more than last week's conversation, but there's actually been a lot of really good feedback on that. So I'm quite sure it's something that we'll do in the future. I've actually got another one booked for next week to record. I'm not sure when it will air. It could air next week, could air the following, but I might also just hold it back until December, till we get past Thanksgiving in the United States. So, but yeah, working with Trish on, I mean, it's, I don't want to call it a real-time heal because that's Nicole Sachs's thing, and I am not a licensed psychotherapist. I'm not formally trained, none of that. Again, it was more just bringing light or bringing, what's the word I want to say, focus to some of the things that I'm hearing as almost like a third party, basically just a friend. And I think that we made some progress. I think I'm hoping that she walked away feeling that like that conversation was valuable. So if you haven't listened, I would encourage you to go back and listen last week. And then I've got another one coming up next week. So this week's podcast, there's actually a couple of things. It's kind of a hodgepodge. It's sort of like, what do I want to call it? Let's say that it is the, it's almost every Thursday in our house, we have what we call it Trash Panda or Trash Panda Night, which all that really means is that on Thursdays, it's like scrounge for yourself kind of night. What do you want for dinner? Could be leftovers, could be something easy. It could be a bowl of cereal, like whatever it is. This is just our way to end the week, and so we call it Trash Panda. It's from a my Zoe has a board game. It's not on a board, but it's a game, and it's called Tacos and Burritos, and there's a Trash Panda in there that is basically a penalty, and so that's where we got the name. I don't know, curious. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was this concept I was thinking about over the last few days called creating space in the mind-body. That's the best way that I could describe it. And so follow me here. One thing that Jim Prusak talked about in a video that he did several years ago, and I would say that I would link it, but I don't know if I could even find it. I don't know what I would type on YouTube, but it's on Jim Prusak's Pain PT channel. But something that he was talking about was really setting some intention towards, well, let me back up. So a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast are suffering from some kind of pain somewhere. And for most people, this is a muscular-based pain, meaning that there's tightness or there's something that is causing pain, a bad reaction somewhere in their body. So let's just say it is their upper back. That's always my spot. Upper back, middle back, whatever. One thing that Jim talked about was actually going through and doing the awareness or the body scan of going to that area and intentionally trying to take the tension away. You're trying to soften that spot, almost like a wet noodle, basically. And it reminded me a lot of, I sat in this guy's meditation class a few years ago now, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And one thing that he talked about doing every day is that he does like a body scan meditation, literally going part to part across the body, starting in, let's just as an example, say the left hand. We're just bringing awareness to the left hand. We're trying to soften the grip or the vice that we might have on that softening. It's literally doing it. I'm looking at it right now. And we move our way up to maybe the forearm in the left arm. Again, just waiting for it to soften. Kind of doing this all over. That was what his rendition of the body scan meditation was. And this is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. You're feeling wound up. And so something feels tight. Something feels aggravated. Something is in pain. And you're essentially bringing awareness there to try and soften it. And there's a few different visuals I've come up with to try and explain this really well as I can anyway. So in Sarno's books, he talked about yelling at the brain to send blood flow to the tissues. Okay, so that's one way that you could think about it. Let's say that it is your right shoulder. You're yelling at your right shoulder to send blood to that area, increase the blood flow. Steve Ozanich would talk in his book about imagining like a cascade or a waterfall of blood going to his lower back to ease tension. I simply imagine this as making space. So if I have my skeleton or my skeletal, and then I have this muscle tissue, and then I have this skin, and I know there's stuff in between, there's fascia, whatever. Trying to create space basically between the muscle tissue and the skin is kind of what I'm imagining. And just sitting there for a minute or two and just imagining it softening. Let me just do it for a second. And when I do that, I literally feel my shoulders sink and my back move backwards, softening. And so the other way that I've thought about this is that Nicole has said several times that sometimes people feel things in their hearts and sometimes people feel things in their bodies. And so what you have with that, the way that I understand it, is that the body in a lot of ways is like the subconscious. So you have a painful knee, that is a feeling. So your body, the pain that you have is a feeling of something. So your body is feeling your feelings. And according to Sarno and Freud, the unconscious or the subconscious that we're dealing with here is the child. Think about the id, right? The id only wants pleasure, and it is the child. So it's a screaming child letting its feelings out. That's the pain that you're feeling. Children are very impressionable and much easier to influence than many adults. Well, some adults. So if you can use your conscious brain or your conscious energy to use the assertiveness and the sure voice to quiet the mind and make the space where the pain is, that can really be a very fast ticket to some very quick relief. And maybe the more that you spend some more conscious time doing this, let's say that it's, I don't know, 3-4 times a day, and then maybe it gets down to a couple times a day, and then it's just sort of an automatic habit. You're softening. The things that are really big benefits for this is that I've talked a lot about somatic tracking or somatic work on this podcast, and that's a big piece of what this is. You are bringing a non-judgmental awareness to a painful part of your body via somatic, and you're allowing it to soften. You don't necessarily care about what the outcome is. There's outcome independence there, but you're bringing non-judgmental attention to that area, and it's just softening. So that's one thing that I was thinking about for today's show that I wanted to bring up. The other thing was something that actually got posted in a Facebook group. So I moderate TMS, hyphen the Mind Body Syndrome, which actually was started by Steve Ozanich. It was later taken on by Barb, who has been on this podcast before. She's also a patron. Thank you, Barb. And now it's run by me and Brad Gutting, or Brad Gutting and I. So this woman posted this today. Not going to say her name for... I'll make it anonymous. But she said, looking for advice on how to deal with one of the major stresses for me. I know it sounds ridiculous, but a clean house is really important to me. I think it comes from growing up with a stepdad who was OCD about cleaning. I immediately thought of Danny Tanner from Full House when she said that. He would clean the house top to bottom every day. It's hard for me to even explain how intense he was about it. But just to give you a couple examples, I never ever had a sleepover as a kid, and he would sweep our footprints out of the freshly vacuumed carpet. So she kind of goes on to talk about this. And basically, like, what can she do about this tendency? And I started thinking that really this is probably one of the things that you would want to use exposure for. I've told the story on this podcast many a time about getting over a fear of flying, and really that the secret to that is exposure. But ultimately, graded exposure is also one thing that Dr. Schubiner has talked about in his book and in a lot of the lectures that he's done. Is, for instance, if you want to go back to activity, let's say you want to go back to running a marathon, you need to have a graded exposure to that, or you may want to have a graded exposure to that. I did not. I went balls to the wall right away. I didn't do a graded exposure to going back to physical activity. But if you're somebody that used to run marathons and now you do nothing, maybe you start with a walk around the block, and then it's a walk a couple of miles, and then it's a run around the block, and then it's run a mile, and then it's run a couple miles, and kind of on and on and on, doing like a linear progression. So I was thinking that for her in this case, that exposure probably is what is needed. And really, it doesn't need to be anything crazy, but starting small, like being able to just sit with and notice maybe a dish that's left on the counter, something like that, and then expanding bigger. You do this because it's what has you feeling like you're in control. So if you always have this tendency to keep your house clean and to clean your house over and over obsessively, that is something that you can control. So can you just observe this without needing to control? So can you observe a dish that's been left out and not have the compulsion to control? And really the only way to do this is going to be just sitting there watching it and eventually getting to a place to where you're okay with it. And then I might dig a little bit deeper and say, why do you need that control? What really is under the surface that you can't, couldn't, or haven't been able to control that is actually a driver here? Just based on what you said about your dad having the OCD cleaning and you couldn't have people even come over and spend the night because there was just too much obsession with this and the house might get dirty and all this, you don't have a lot of control in that situation. You don't. So ultimately, you need to be able to gain control somewhere else. Where in life now do you not feel maybe like you have control? That's something else to consider too. I think that, so there's a lot of talk in Sarno's work and a lot of the people that are in this space about the roots of trauma or the roots of things that occurred very early in childhood being a big contributor to personality characteristics now, and some people call them flaws, but personality characteristics now that really guide you in your behavior, and that a lot of that really truly can be brought back to childhood. There's jokes about women with daddy issues. There's jokes about men who marry their mothers, and a lot of this comes down to what were those experiences very, very early in life. And so I would say that this compulsion to have to keep everything clean and this OCD about it has to do with control, because you're controlling a situation. And why are you trying to control that situation? And what instances were there where you really had little to no control as maybe a young adolescent? So that might be something that I would think about. Short podcast this week. I will be back next week, and I hope you all have a lovely weekend. Getting kind of bummed. It's daylight savings time this weekend, which means that next week's soccer practices, which are the last for the season, are going to be played in the dark, and we only have two more games. And my girls, my U9 Blazing Dragons, played their two best games of the entire season this past weekend. We went 1-1. The game that we lost 1-0, and I think it might have been the most impressive game I've seen them play in three seasons, and it was great. So hope you're all having a great week, and I will talk to you next week.